Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The European Union says it's too early to impose sanctions on Iran, but it won't be given an indefinite window to make up its mind on the nuclear program. The EU's top diplomat says he'll meet with Iran's nuclear negotiator within the next few days. He hopes those talks will provide, quote, enough knowledge to see if formal negotiations can start. Iran missed the deadline yesterday to freeze its uranium enrichment program, opening the door for UN Security Council sanctions. The foreign minister of Finland, which hosts the rotating EU presidency, says diplomacy has to stay the number one way forward. Meanwhile, Russia is saying it regrets Iran's decision not to halt the uranium enrichment by the UN deadline, underscoring the growing impatience of one of Iran's key allies on the Security Council. But the Russian foreign minister signaled Russia continues to have a dim view of the efforts to quickly impose sanctions on Iran. He says Russia wants to keep all options open. The statement appeared to be a response to U.S.-led efforts to quickly bring sanctions against Iran. U.S. and other officials have said no action will be sought against Iran before the key diplomatic meetings, starting in a few days. Russia and China both opposed to quick and harsh penalties, both nations permanent members of the U.N. Security Council with veto power, and Moscow is helping Iran to build an atomic power plant. Officials in Iran now report 29 people were killed when a passenger plane skidded off the runway during a landing today and caught fire. Earlier reports had said there were 80 dead. Officials say the plane's wings scraped the ground, sparking a fire. A survivor says the plane was shaking badly as it landed, and it suddenly lurched to the left. She says it then caught fire, and all of the passengers headed for the emergency exits. The White House is bringing in people from countries that have suffered terrorist attacks to populate the audience at George Bush's next War on Terror speech to emphasize the global nature of the enemy. Bush often talks about the list of attacks from recent years in London, Madrid, Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan to demonstrate the world should be united against Islamic militants. Yesterday, in the speech that launched this new offensive to build support for the Iraq war and for Republicans in the fall election, Bush said various factions of terrorists belong under the same umbrella. Tuesday, the president plans to expand on that description in a speech to the Military Officers Association of America. It's the second in Bush's latest round of speeches. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome to the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werbe here, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. Thanks for joining me. We got us a talk show here, 866-303-2270. I've been doing the last couple of weeks here on Air America, and that's about it for me tonight. So, you know, let's not say farewell, let's just say hors d'oeuvre. Who said that? Some comedian back whenever. But anyway, my job is here in Detroit, and I gratefully and gladly sit in on Air America every once in a while, and all of you folks have been great. I've rarely done it for so long, so it's been an interesting ride, to say the least, with a few wrinkles here and there, but not of my doing and not of your doing as well. Now, one of the things that I've mentioned along the line is I don't have any staff. I have these wonderful people in New York answering the phones and putting everything on the air and pressing buttons. But here it's just little old me. And I'm not complaining. That's the way I've done talk radio for the last 30 years or so. But suddenly I'm beginning to appreciate the quality of organization. And I'm thinking, what in the hell do I have in front of me? I try to organize it. I've got to go watch someone else work. I've never seen another talk show happen in all of this time that I've been on the air at all. Speaking of other talk shows, though, at about 30 minutes from now, we're going to be welcoming Air America's Tom Hartman. That's right. Our one of our premier talk show hosts in America has written yet another book, his 14th. It's called Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It. That's what I like about Tom Hartman. He suggests solutions. We bitch and bitch and bitch. And solutions, they're few and far between. Hey, it's a little difficult for individuals to do that. You're supposed to have like a political party, or even better, a mass political movement that puts up a vision and suggests solutions. Now we've just got this kind of lazy other sector of the ruling racket that's hoping that the dominant one's going to fall on its face in November. It probably will, and then they'll just sort of slide in, you know. Well, anything to stop these gangsters that are currently in power. I agreed on that. I was thinking for my last night here. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like I'm going for good or anything like that. I shall return, as some general or other said. But I was going to be a little more self-indulgent. I actually didn't have any guests set up at all. But now we have Tom Hartman and one other who I'll tell you about in a minute. Because, I mean, look, it was another day by Bush Co., the Bush crime family, Bush and Sons Incorporated, another assault against peace, against democracy, against the rule of law, against truth, against justice, against fairness. And many of you who get a chance to listen to other shows during the day have probably examined those already. So I was going to go into a few more obscure issues that I've had here with me, some of them for the last 2 weeks that I wanted to get into, like Venezuela, marijuana man, you know, stuff like that, because there's some interesting developments there. My other guest, who is going to be on at 11:30 Eastern Time, you can do the math, is Ray McGovern. Many of you know him. He's made several appearances on Air America. He's a former CIA analyst. He was with the agency for 27 years. He's now part of the effort called The World Can't Wait. You can go to worldcantwait.org. Do not put in the apostrophe. Just put in worldcantwait.org. And there's a lot going on. In fact, there's a column here. Maybe I should, that's a good way to start. What the hell? I'm going to read you the part I liked of this. This was astounding, though, to see this in the New York Times, that staid old paper that really supported every lie that's ever come down the tubes as well. But sometimes they get it right, and they're starting to get it right now. They're the voice of big finance capital, and they realize that these morons that are currently ensconced in the White House are really endangering the U.S. Well, already have. I mean, they say that very frequently. They've already endangered the U.S. standing in the world, the economic status in the world, and the economy itself. So they're very anti-Bush. So now the right wing can say, see, that's a liberal media. These guys are trying to save capitalism because you think, wait a minute, isn't Bush the arch-capitalist? Well, yeah, Hitler, Mussolini, Franco, all those guys, they were the arch-capitalists too, except they always overplayed their hands. They didn't understand really what the deal of modern industrial finance capital is. You don't want to go for this heavy-handed stuff and try to grab every bit of profit you can right at the moment. You got to have just sort of and you want to calm things down. You don't want things always roiled, upset, wars and protests and what have you. It's not good for business. So Bush is not a good capitalist. Well, we know that. Neither is Cheney. We know that from their business history, what idiots they were when they were in the business world. Now, this is by Andrew Rosenthal. It must be the son, I suspect, of A.M. Rosenthal, this very conservative Democrat who was a columnist, and I think one of the executives on the Times for years, died a few years ago. But Andrew Rosenthal is the deputy editorial page director. And he's got a column yesterday that said, there is silence in the streets. Where have all the protesters gone? Well, we're going to talk with Ray McGovern because there's stuff going on. And Andrew ought to just look out his window at the New York Times. I was there. I think I mentioned this last night, April 28th. There were 350,000 people in the streets marching down Broadway saying, bring the troops home now, get out of Iraq, all of that stuff. And, of course, on February 15th, 2003, right before Bush's disastrous war based on lies commenced, there were a million of us in New York City. I was there. I love a parade. I love New York, too. So whenever there's a big one, I go there. Turns out, let me see, I'm going there at the end of October, and I believe there is something there on that weekend as well, like the 28th or something. So, Andrew Rosenthal says, there is silence in the streets. Where have all the protesters gone? And I'm going to put this to our guest, Ray McGovern, as well. But that's not what this is about. I'm going to read the first three paragraphs. It was almost painful the other night to hear Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young sing about a war whose purpose Americans never really understood, stated by a president who didn't tell the truth and then waged the war ineptly. And he says, and this is a good line, and that was before they sang about Iraq. Of course, you know, they're talking about Vietnam. The audience rose for Neil Young's blast at George Bush, Let's Impeach the President. And, of course, that's from the album Life. I have it right here. Hold on. I'm forgetting the middle word. That's what I was right. Living with War. I had two words wrong. Neil Young's Living with War. So the entire audience stood up, and it was one of the big stadiums. Maybe some of you who saw it could give us a call at 866-303-2270. Or if you're listening in Detroit, on my hometown, on WDTW, if the Shock game is over, this is Detroit Shock women's basketball game. They preempt Air America to play this obscure basketball game. And if you saw it out at the DTE Energy Theater, you can last night, I think, or the night before, you could tell me as well. So the whole audience rose to sing with Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, Neil Young's Let's Impeach the President, I'm going to play that later, and sang the words displayed on a huge TV screen. Even the 20-something in front of us who had been text messaging throughout the concert stood up. Yeah, what is with this? I go to concerts, and people, rather than watching the concert, are they doing that? They're texting each other. I mean, don't start me on that. The same screen, this must have really been dramatic, the same screen also displayed thumbnail photos of slain soldiers while a counter ran up the most recent toll. It takes longer than you think to count up to 2,600 plus. And he says, it was a surprisingly political moment for a rock concert in 2006, but when those four men sang their protest songs four decades ago, their lyrics echoed and personified a powerful political movement sweeping America. Now they are entertainment, something to leave behind in the concert hall. You believe that? I don't. I think there's a lot more going on here. It ain't exactly the Vietnam era. I mean, there's not. We've had 2,600 plus soldiers killed, 20,000 wounded. I mean, that's a big amount of people. If you've ever seen any of these scenes of the wounded, they don't get killed as frequently, but they get a lot of limbs blown off because the armor doesn't protect them there. But there's no draft, and the body count is fairly low. I'm forgetting now. I don't remember what the highest in a week were, but I tend to remember it was at least a couple 300 a week. So there was thousands and thousands of dead, and there was this mammoth protest movement in the United States. So there's more going on here, and Ray McGovern will tell us. You may want to contact us as well and talk about what you know of is going on in your area. But if you think there's nothing going on, it's a matter of really not tuning in. For instance, if you live in the Detroit area, or it might be an idea of the kind of calendar you could get on other websites, go to my website, peterwerbe.com, W-E-R-B-E.com. And there's stuff going on all the time in the Detroit area, and not a lot of people turn out for them. I mean, once in a while, there'll be 200 people, and people go, wow, that was a great turnout. Or there'll be a demonstration, and there'll be 400 people there, and people will go, man, we had a lot of people. And I don't mean to run this, you youngsters don't know what it was like back in the day. But one of the reasons it's not like it was back in the day is not enough people are turning out. This is better than texting. This is better than going on the internet. This is better than surfing the web. This is better than watching DVDs about all this stuff. Up close and personal does it. That's the way to do it. Get together. Go out. Meet people just like you. It can turn out to be a very exciting scene. Peter Werbe with you on the Air America Radio Network. Our phone number, and I would like to get you on the line, 866-303-2270. We'll all take some deep breaths and come right back.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Sorry, it was a little fast. And this is a little, about 9 seconds.
Let me introduce myself. George W. is my name.
And that was way too short, wasn't it?
My daddy's name and money help me everywhere I go. And I want to be your leader, though my brain's a little slow. I'm George W. Don't you cry for me. I've come all the way from Texas, just as dumb as I can be.
Should I take any of those calls? There's nothing up on them.
To the White House, that's in Washington, D.C. Hey, got a
Air America Radio Network, Peter Werby here with you at 866-303-2270. And that music from my old pals who I can't... You know, why am I having so much trouble thinking of things tonight? George and Julius, George Mann and Julius Margolis, right. Margolin it is. I just saw them in person about 2 months ago. And Julius is, well, man, like 88 or something like that, and he's still kicking it. Still kicking it. I mentioned earlier, I said, let's not say goodbye, let's say just say hors d'oeuvre, and I couldn't remember who had said that. What comedian? Thank you to Stan in Bel Air, Texas. Martin Mull, in fact, was the man. All right, let's see. Where should we go? All right, I like this. It's hard for me really to get into the real meat of stuff today. I don't know why. We'll be getting into it in just about 15 minutes with Tom Hartman, who will be my guest. He's got a new book called Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It. The only thing I would disagree with Tom about is that, well, I guess it's not declared. He's right. I was going to say the people at the top, the rulers, they've declared it, but I guess they haven't announced it. I guess that's what declared means. All right. I mentioned this last night, but this headline here from the Toronto Sun says, Brit movie riles Bush camp. Who makes up these headlines? A British mock documentary called Death of a President, which depicts the imagined assassination of George W. Bush, seems to be this year's lightning rod for political outrage at the Toronto International Film Fest. The movie is fashioned at a future look back at the repercussions that follow Bush's assassination in October 2007. So it's like, I think it's 10 years after. It's set in, I believe, in 2017. The right-wing media in the U.S. discovered the movie and its premise yesterday. The news gossip weblog Drudge Report led its homepage with the word shock, President Bush assassinated in new movie. The Drudge site, which linked to an article about the movie in the London Evening Standard, also included a doctored photo from the film of Bush being shot by a sniper in front of a hotel. You can go to my site, by the way, and see it all. Peter Werby, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E. Liz Snyder of Richmond, Indiana, in one of the several angry comments posted about the article, Drudge said, this is outrageous. Someone should be afraid of life imitating art. I'm disgusted at the thought of it. Right-wing talk radio pundit, please, you can call me anything, even late for lunch. Don't call me, Peter, a pundit. Anyways, Rush Limbaugh also ran with the story, expressing his outrage to as many as 12 million listeners on more than 500 radio affiliates. You know what's interesting about this is overall numbers are down like by a third. Wasn't he up to like 18 million? Sicko, Limbaugh said. Imagine Limbaugh calling somebody a sicko. Stealing the name of Michael Moore's coming film. This could be intentional. We'll talk about language in a little while as well. Sicko, he said in describing the film's director, Gabriel Range. Limbaugh asked, isn't it a crime to talk about killing a president? The White House declined comment, saying it would not dignify the movie with a response. The director, Range, said, we're thrilled to be screening the film at Toronto. It's a striking premise which may be seen as highly controversial, do you think? But it's a serious film which I hope will open up a debate on whether U.S. foreign and domestic policies are where they're taking us. Limbaugh claimed the filmmaker's sole intention is to move forward the anti-Bush agenda, and he questioned the morals and integrity of anyone who would sanction such a work. It is kind of creepy. I mean, I would say, well, let me not speak for anyone. You remember, there is somebody who says, have I told you tonight how much I hate these people? And many of us feel like that. And I've heard some pretty drastic things that I actually told people in my family and some friends. Don't say that out loud. Don't say that on the air. Not on the air, on the telephone. Or don't say it in any way. That there are certain laws. And we, you know, I hope no one would think, oh, that would be great. Oh, that would be so great. There was a period of great assassinations in this country. Of course, it was all against the left in the 1960s, and it was a horrid period. What we want with George W. Bush is, well, the biggest dream is to see him frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs and taken to The Hague, or at least brought in front of the Senate, where he is impeached for his high crimes and misdemeanors, his shredding of the Constitution, breaking laws, starting wars on false premises, etc. All right, we'll be right back with Tom Hartman, Air America's own, and his brand new book called Screwed. I'm Peter Werby. Hang on.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Avacor. Today, Avacor will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong, because only Avacor gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Avacor will double your order. Call Avacor now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Welcome back. This is the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, broadcasting from Detroit. It's a pleasure to welcome Air America's own Tom Hartman, an old friend, a colleague, morning show host in Portland, host of a nationally syndicated program that reaches some 3 million listeners each day. The author, I said only 14 books, 17 books, and the brand new one, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class, and What We Can Do About It, most importantly, Tom Hartman. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Peter, I'm great. How are you today?
I'm good. I actually say this to you. I call you Tom Hartman Iron Man. Sometimes you do as much as 10 hours of talk radio a day, right?
I did day before yesterday. But, you know, this kind of gets to the topic of the book. It's a hell of a lot easier to do 10 hours of talk radio than it is to do probably even 8 hours of laying bricks. I mean, this is work, but man, there's a lot of America that's really out there working.
They are. Hey, I forgot. I was gonna say something coming back, and that was, everybody on hold, stay there. I'm going to get to you. But Tom Hartman, I can't miss this opportunity to get him on the air and talk about this new book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class. Let's start with that section of the subtitle. Who's declared war against people like you and me?
Well, this is what's really interesting about it, Peter. You know, back in the 30s, for a long, long time in America, basically from the time of the rise of the railroads and the robber barons, everybody knew that there were economic interests, you know, powerful economic, the robber barons, who really weren't all that interested in there being a middle class, you know, and rather ambivalent about it, but mostly they wanted a lot of poor working people that they could terrorize and you know, have their way with, as it were. And
exploit, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, in that regard, to a large extent, you know, Karl Marx is right. But they're not the guys who really did this thing. They're the ones who are profiting from it. And I mean, they tried. Back in the 30s, you know, Smedley Butler chronicled how you know, some of the industrialists came to him and asked him to participate in the assassination of, you know, a coup d'etat, essentially, of Franklin Roosevelt. And, you know, that story, it didn't come out for some years, but, you know, it's been, you know, it's real, it's solid. But really, this started in the 60s. In the 60s and 70s, the people who, in part, include what the group that we refer to as the neocons, the Straussians, you had the Wolfowitzes and the Rumsfelds and the Cheneys. They were looking, this was the peak of the economic and political power of the American middle class from the early 60s through the late 70s, that basically 20-year period. The 25% of Americans, of working Americans, were members of a union, had a union job. And for every union job, typically there's another job that has identical pay and benefits because the unions are creating a floor in a workplace, you know, in a region. So half of America had the kind of jobs where you could put your kids through school, put them through college, you had all your medical expenses covered, you had a pension that was going to take care of you for the rest of your life. You know, after you retired, you could take a vacation for a couple of weeks every year, you could buy a home, buy a car, you could live the middle class lifestyle.
Solidly. And we thought this was going to go upward and onward. This is called progress, right?
Yeah. And you know, we'd been working up to this, and really it was the result of Franklin Roosevelt's interference in the marketplace. I mean, he created this with the Wagner Act of 1935, the Social Security Act of 1936, on and on. And because middle classes don't normally emerge in economies. Normally what you have is a small number of very rich people and a very large number of very poor people. You know, the world that Charles Dickens described. That's what's normal with laissez-faire economics. So anyhow, in the 60s and 70s, we, as a result of Franklin Roosevelt's policies, as a result of the New Deal, we had this middle class. People who were politically and frankly financially empowered. Now, if they went out into the streets to protest and they got fired from their job, they didn't care because there was always another job. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, good paying jobs out there. If they got thrown out of the college that they were in, they didn't care because they could get into another college. In fact, you could go to college for free in many parts of the United States. At the University of California, you know, Reagan didn't do away with that until the early 80s, as I recall. So, it was the 70s. But in any case, you get the point. And there were these folks who were looking at this situation, the 60s and 70s, of women demanding not just equal rights in the workplace, but also reproductive rights. You know, let's legalize abortion. They were looking at African Americans saying, hey, we don't want to ride in the back of the bus anymore. We want, you know, not just the right to vote, but equal rights. We want every equality in the workplace, no more redlining in neighborhoods. Basically, all the groups that a small white male power structure had oppressed for a long, long time were standing up and saying, hey, we want our place at the table too. And it was a time of a lot of upheaval. Young people, you know, say, we're not going to your stinking war. Thank you very much. We're not showing up. And taking to the streets. And there were people, and keep in mind, these are people who think they were doing the best, who were looking at this and going, this is a society melting down. Look at this. There's people in the streets. They're burning down cities. They're rioting on the campuses. This is going to be the end of America. This is a society that's imploding. These people have too much time, too much money, too much security, and they're getting too uppity. We got to do something about it.
Idle hands, the work of the devil. Tom Hartman is my guest. I'm Peter Werby. Tom Hartman, an Air America personality, talk show host, doing great work on the network. His brand new book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class. It is available from Barrett Kohler Publishers. It's a BK Currents book. So what essentially we had was the reemergence of the conservative counter-revolution that tried to stop the original revolution in 1776 that started getting another shot at it in the 1960s and 70s.
Yeah, and largely for the same reasons, because they considered themselves good patriotic Americans. And they believed, like Alexander Hamilton and John Adams did, John Adams, who the second president of the United States, who put into prison people who published newspapers who spoke ill of him, because they consider themselves patriots. They did it because they believed that democracy is too much democracy is a dangerous thing, and that, to quote Sir Edmund Burke, the patron saint of modern day conservatives in the 1790s, that society should have classes and orders. That's the natural state of things. They really believe that. And what was happening was, as the middle class reached a certain critical mass, it got large enough in America. I mean, you know, solidly half of America was full blown right there in the middle of the middle class and empowered. They thought, you know, this is not stable, and stability is more important than liberty. Stability is more important than freedom in the minds of these people.
Tom Hartman, do this for me, because I'm looking at the clock, and you know the segments and how they are. So tell us about how the war has developed, what's been the result of it, and let's spend a minute or so on the subtitle of your book, Screwed, what we can do about it, because I think all of us, at least at some level, know this is going on. This book documents it all terrifically.
Well, it really began with Ronald Reagan and declaring war on two things. One, on working people, busting Patco. I mean, that was the kickoff. And today, we had, maybe it was yesterday, Bush doing a recess appointment of a guy to the Department of Labor, you know, an old Walmart lawyer. And so on the one hand, you know, that declaring war on working people, and also Ronald Reagan declaring war on democracy itself, on the very idea of democracy. His famous joke that he would tell every chance he got: I've always thought the nine most dangerous words in the English language were, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's terrible. and you know, campaigning against government. Well, you know, if you're in the Soviet Union, campaigning against government makes a certain amount of sense. But the United States is a constitutionally limited representative democratic republic. I mean, this is a democracy. The government is us in this country, and that's who Reagan was campaigning against. And so we've had 26 years now of a real change in mindset. In fact, Reagan and Horowitz and all these other the mind control political correct freaks back in the early 80s went on a crusade to strip our public schools of any kind of education about American history or civics, because it was being taught by union member teachers who are all socialists.
Yeah.
And so now we have an entire generation that's grown up without any recollection, no understanding of what happened in the 30s, or in the they don't know who the Wobblies are, and they don't know what the progressive movement of the 1870s was, and they just don't know the history of the rights and freedoms that we still have left, much less the ones that we really enjoyed 30 years ago.
Tell us the final subtitle. The book is Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class. Tom Hartman is the author, and the final subtitle is What We Can Do About It. Is the only thing we can do about it elect the Democrats in November?
Well, that's a start. We have to also take over the Democratic Party, turn it into a progressive cause, and then we need to make structural changes in the United States, like instant runoff voting, so that we can bring in other parties on a national level without shooting ourselves in the foot, you know, the Greens and things like that. But, yeah, we need to be organizing. We need to be getting politically active. We need to be stepping out. And people are doing it. There are stories in the book about how people are doing it and how to do it. And frankly, I have to say, Peter, and you and I go back a long way. I mean, you know, we were both on IE America Radio many years ago. I mean, we've been around this thing many, many times. I am still an optimist. I really believe that democracy and freedom are in our genes. It's part of the genetic material, the DNA of America. You know, we've had 230 years of believing in it, even though we very often, in fact, probably most of our history, didn't really act it out very well. We still believed in it. We still spoke of it. It's that meme that can't be removed from us. So I'm frankly very hopeful. I think that we're at a critical and transitional and pivotal time. We can't let them steal another election. We've got to get out there. We've got to be watching the ballots. We've got to get rid of these corporate-owned machines. You know, obviously we can't do that before 2006, but we've got to do everything we can to get as many Democrats right now over the short term elected as possible, and then start holding them accountable.
Thank you, Tom Hartman. Will you be on my Detroit show?
Oh, on your Detroit show?
Sure.
Oh, I'd be honored, Peter.
All right.
I'd love to.
I've interviewed you. I don't know how many books. You know, you're the guy that told me having ADHD is okay, as long as you're a talk show host and not an accountant.
Yeah.
Go to TomHartman.com. You can see everything that Tom does. It's absolutely amazing that what comes out of this one man. The book is Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class, and very importantly, what we can do about it.
And Peter, if I could, just real quick, on the 9th, I'll be doing a book signing at Vox Pop in Brooklyn for folks who are there, and on the 5th in at Powell's in Portland, and then I'll be in San Francisco and L.A. It's all at TomHartman.com on my calendar.
You make me tired just hearing your schedule.
I'm looking forward to it.
Tom Hartman, you're wonderful. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Peter. You're doing a great job.
All right, thank you. And we'll be right back. We will get you folks on the air. Have we taken any calls? I don't think so. That's not good. This is a talk show, and I want to talk to you. We've got one more guest, but that's at about 45 minutes or so. And then after that, we're completely open line. So stay with us. You folks have amazing patience. My callers on my Detroit show, you don't get them in like 2 minutes. They hang up. Come on. It's a toll-free number, 866-303-2270. I'm Peter Werbe. This is the Air America Radio Network.
Question. Are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644. 877-870-2644. 877-870-2644.
It's Air America Radio Network. I had to wait a while. I knew that song. It's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. You know, I can't help myself. I don't think most hosts identify the music that's being played. Al Franken does. Every time they play Dire Straits, it's almost always at the same time. And he always says, that's Dire Straits. I go, yeah. But I couldn't remember that one right away. Peter Werby here with you on Air America, 866-303-2270. I have a lot of things I want to talk about, but I know you do as well. It's Brian in Queens. Brian, hi, you're on the air. It's Peter Werby with you.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Pete, you know, well, just a couple of points. And then, well, first of all, there's a couple of things that kind of worry me. But, I mean, the bottom line is that we have to get out. Democrats have to get out in overwhelming numbers, of course, and vote no matter what. But the thing that scares me is that because of the corruption that the Republicans have, they basically have an unlimited war chest as far as money to work with.
Well, the Democrats have a considerable amount. In fact, it's not quite as much. I mean, the figures vary from what I've seen, but I mean, it's actually on both sides an obscene amount of money. In fact, that the elections have to be run in that manner is really a violation of as far as I'm concerned, is the principles of democracy. But the idea of always outnumbered, always outgunned isn't exactly true. The Dems got a lot of money.
Good. Okay. Well, the thing is that I tell you, if it was up to me, that the money shouldn't even enter it. It should be like it shouldn't be involved that you have to have money to run commercials and all that. That's the whole downfall, because then it was like the Bloomberg campaign when he ran for mayor. I mean, whatever your view was, he ran against Ferrer. I mean, the guy basically had commercials on on a half hour.
Sure.
Ferrer had like one commercial on like within like 5 hours or something.
Yeah.
You know, and how can you even stand a chance of even getting the message out? Now, I'm not saying who I was necessarily for in that race, but it shows what the power of the money advantage.
And there is no, because the guys that are getting the money are the ones that would have to control legislation to end it all, and they're not about to do it. Thank you, Brian. Here's Jess in San Diego. Jess, hi, it's Peter Werby.
I just want to talk about fair elections and
you silly man. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, okay. I mean, it's well known that the last two presidential elections have been stolen. Is there any hope at all that corruption won't ruin these elections in 2006, and will we be able to? I mean, you look at all the polls, and the numbers say that the Democrats should take both houses of Congress, but if the Republicans are playing their games, you know, of course that's not going to happen. So I'm just wanting to know, what the odds are.
Now, would you think had the largest vested interest in assuring that there were fair elections, besides the American people? I mean, what institution? I think it would be called the Democratic Party, right? So why aren't they on this? Why aren't they challenging what so many of us know about the nature of election, who counts it, the technology, all of that? I mean, it's up to some real stalwarts in the progressive movement that have been ringing the bells of alarm that these machines aren't trustworthy. They're being operated by Republican operatives. Hello. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so do you think that we'll ever get fair elections back in this country?
I don't know. I mean, I guess. Sorry to stumble around here. I know talk show hosts are supposed to go, but it's daunting. There hasn't been enough attention drawn to this. Certainly here on Air America, the hosts have been banging away at this, but it hasn't, to the extent necessary, come to the fore publicly in mainstream, more mainstream media, and certainly not among the Democratic politicians. They're always afraid they're going to look like sore losers. So Gore and Clinton went to Bush's first inauguration knowing that he had stolen the election from them. I mean, Gore was a sore winner. He wasn't a sore loser. All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. More on that if you like. 866-303-2270. And we're near the end of this segment. Top of the hour information coming up, another 2 hours ahead. And Ray McGovern, the ex-CIA analyst, will be with us. He's going to talk about a lot of things, including the world can't wait, the effort to drive out the Bush regime. Now, you know, that's an important little difference there when we were talking about elections. Elections, one way to do it. But politically, I mean, can you imagine millions and millions of people saying Bush out now? No, neither can I. But let's make it real. Let's think about it. Let's have some confidence in our ability to create the kind of mass movements that have defined American history. Hey, they could do it, whether it was 1776 or 1968 or whenever. Let's do it again. Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. Call us up, 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone, shaken their hand, and the second you let go, you can't remember their name? Short-term memory loss is a natural part of aging, but forgetting names, dates, and misplacing things can be frustrating. In business, it can cost you money. Fight back with MemoProve, the new once-a-day tablet developed over 10 years by a pharmaceutical company using proprietary neuropeptides, clinically shown to improve memory. In just 30 days, MemoProve will boost your short-term memory by at least 15%, guaranteed. Call right now to find out how you can get a 3-month supply of MemoProve free. 1-888-665-MEMO. That's 1-888-665-MEMO. This is a limited-time offer, so call right now. 1-888-665-MEMO. 888-665-MEMO.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. For the second time in recent weeks, a hurricane forecasting team is now cutting the number of major storms it expects this season. The team at Colorado State University now expects 13 named Atlantic storms. Of those, it says 5 will be hurricanes and 2 will be intense. At the end of May, the team predicted 17 named storms. Last month, they cut that by 2. Today, they say, based on what's happened through August, they now believe September and October will be more like average years. The Colorado team is not the only group changing storm predictions. The National Hurricane Center last month revised its estimate from 15 down to 12. Meanwhile, as Ernesto's rains move north, tourists returning to the beaches at places like North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The surf was there, calm, and the skies clear during the day. Shelters in North Carolina, where some 300 people spent last night, have quickly emptied. The storm is blamed for one death in Virginia and North Carolina. The two states have close to 300,000 customers without power. Rain extends well north up to New Jersey and New York and Washington, D.C. Sandbags surround some of the federal buildings downtown, which had flooded basements when storms hit there back in June. In the Pacific, Hurricane John a bit weaker as it hits the resorts of Mexico's Cabo San Lucas. The tourists who were not able to get the last flights out are taking shelter in hotel ballrooms. Residents of nearby shanty towns have been ordered to evacuate. Police have been driving through the communities warning people to move to safer locations. AAA expects about 35 million Americans to be traveling this weekend, but stormy weather may keep people in the mid-Atlantic states home and not as many people heading to the airport. For a lot of Americans, Labor Day travel will be restricted because of the long lines and security at the airport. They say it would be just as easy to drive, and AAA says many people are doing that. The Auto Club expecting the number of people flying this holiday weekend to be down by almost 100,000 from a year ago. They say the aggravation from the heightened security at the airport, combined with cheaper gasoline, is leading a lot of people to just get in the car and go where they're going this holiday weekend. About those gasoline prices, the people at AAA say they are definitely down about a quarter a gallon over just the last 2 weeks, and so car travel is definitely up this holiday weekend. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. Air America Radio Network, Peter Werby here with you. Won't get fooled again. Hey, about two-thirds of us are on board with that. Still got that one-third. I guess we We got to just forget about them, right? 866-303-2270. Ray McGovern, the ex-CIA analyst who has turned his whole life around and given us incredible information about what goes on in the secret police of our government, and is also going to tell us about the World Can't Wait. Some incredible stuff happening there. You go to worldcantwait.org. Don't put in the apostrophe for that. I said I wasn't going to talk about the daily news. This just came across. Pentagon gives gloomy Iraq report. Well, I don't know. That's enough for that. Let's see here. Bob wrote in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I wasn't giving that last night because everybody was so confused about stuff, but that's another story. Bob writes, always good listening to you on Air America. Having Tom Hartman on is great, but when does he sleep? Tom Hartman, an Air America talk show host and author of the book Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class, and I don't know. I don't think he does. I know I get 8 hours all the time. I'll go to sleep tonight about 1:30, quarter to 2, and I'll get up at 9:30, quarter to 10. I got to have 8 hours. He doesn't. Great people do not think. I'm good. Not great. Anyway, your website, he says, it's brutal on the eyes to look at and navigate through. It's peterwerbe.com. PETERWERBE.com. I'm not fishing for compliments, folks, so don't go to it and say, oh, I love it. It's great. It means you got great information on it. Plus, how about a blog? Oh, man, it means I'd have to write it every day. I don't think so. That's what I mean. I'm sleeping. Those other guys, they're up typing on their blogs or setting up a MySpace page, blog space. The overall design of the site is just too busy. It is busy. Plus, all the links open up separate pages. Yeah, it's just supposed to do. Because I don't want it to go to another page and then, you know, you can't come back to the homepage. Talk to your web guy. No offense against you. I just think the site needs some work. Keep preaching, Peter. Well, web guy? What web guy? I'm the web guy. I do it all. I'm a one-man band. So there. All right. Let's go to our phones, and I got a lot of stuff to say, so do you. Here's Gwen in Minnesota. Gwen, hi. It's Peter Werbe on Air America.
Hello.
Hello.
My goodness. I'm surprised.
Why? What are you surprised about?
Well, I've never been on the radio before. I am 56 years old. I'm originally from Southern California, so that gives you an idea that I grew up in public education.
Sure.
My education was based upon, and it was a marvelous education, liberal arts and humanities. My point is we have been in liberal talk radio, skirting around the issue of education. And I've heard you mention, and others over and over and again, the importance of civics. I was brought up to believe in the ideals of this country.
Sure.
The ideals. And also it was my generation that screwed up the ideals when we started demanding that we be listened to instead of the classic authors. We've got to return.
What do you mean? You want to read? What do you mean? Give me, flesh that out a little. What do you mean exactly?
I can give you an example.
Okay.
My first year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to go through college. Worked part-time, worked full-time, did everything I could.
Gotcha.
I had a minister who was teaching philosophy. And he came into class and said, you teach me because you know, because you are living through these times. And I stood up and said, no, you teach me. I need to know the basis, the ground of where and what we come from, who we are, how we identify. You teach me. And he kicked me out of class.
Well, he wasn't a very good teacher, but there was a lot of experimentation because a lot of traditional education, besides having value, had also gotten very stodgy, was not giving enough proper attention to modern literature, modern ideas. So the idea that we study both the classics and modernity, because there's wonderful stuff that's been written in the 20th century and now into the 21st century, and how education should go about, that's still being debated, and a lot of people think some education is too authoritarian in the way that you just have the one who professes up at the front of the class and that it ought to be more egalitarian. On the other hand, you're absolutely right. Who knows the stuff? the man or woman who studied it for 10 or 20 years, and you've come there to get their knowledge. But I don't know. I think the modern education, if anything, suffers from more from what you said, is not having this liberal education, not in terms of philosophy, but a broad education, and it's colleges are becoming more and more like trade schools, I'd say. All right, thank you for your participation. I appreciate it. Here is Mark in Phoenix. Mark, hi. It's Peter Werbe.
Hey, Peter, you liberals are hypocrites.
Were you talking about me?
No, you're a good one, but the other liberal, a lot of the other liberals are hypocrites. And I'll tell you why. You
go
guys,
ahead.
I thought this network was about freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to Mike? Why can't we discuss it? Why we got to hide from it?
Well, I'll tell you. Please turn him down a little. It's not appropriate in the radio business to discuss the business of the station or the network. I'm sorry to say. And also, I'm a mere substitute that operates under constrictions that aren't of my making. And I've been at a lot of stations where people have been terminated. I have been terminated. And generally, when you're gone, you're gone. It's an unfortunate set of circumstances. It's life in an industry that sometimes can be very ruthless. If you'd like some more information on that, go to my website. I was just saying it, and this won't be hard to find. Peter Werbe, Werbe.com. Yeah. Also, there's a good number of people that probably don't know what we even were talking about. But going to my website will make it a lot clearer. All right. Thank you so much. Here's Sansura in Brooklyn, New York. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I was listening to you talk about the Andrew Rosenthal editorial in the Times yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I had a different take on it. When I read it, he described in the movements against the Vietnam War and the student movements, people went out and protested not to register their dissent and go back home at the end of the day. They went out and protested to change history, to change what was happening.
Right.
And he cites, Rosenthal cites, he says, they drove LBJ.
I'm sorry, I'm losing you here.
Oh, dear. Are you there?
Yes. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. Well, let me just bring people up to speed. The August 31st editorial Observer column by Andrew Rosenthal was titled, "There is Silence in the Streets. Where have all the protesters gone?" And I don't think he's looking out his window at the New York Times. That's what I said. Enormous demonstrations have passed by his office. And you know what? Usually when they wind up in the New York Times, they've been diminished by up to 90%.
Well, I'm not here to praise the New York Times coverage. I would agree with you there, but my point is that protests that are ritualized and people go back to their daily lives as our government tortures people and wages preemptive war are not protests that are meaningful. And we actually have to go out. I'm with, you know, the World Can't Wait movement. Drive out the Bush regime. People actually need to be in the streets and not stop and grow from there. October 5th, that's what we're planning. And I think that, you know, the whole ethos that is described in that editorial of students changing their lives and upheaval and political resistance being the standard is something that if we don't do that, we're complicit with the crimes of this regime. It's not enough to vote for Democrats who are not stopping them.
Well, I think you're reading a lot into this this elite journalist from an elite paper that essentially is the voice of finance capital. But your interpretation.
I'm not in absolute agreement with everything he says, but I take it as a challenge. If we haven't made the whole world take note of our protest, of our opposition of this regime, if we haven't driven it out, and if we haven't forced somebody like Rosenthal to feel that it's, you know, this is the protests in the 60s set the pace for everybody had to respond to them, and that's what I'm describing. And I'm not in total agreement with him, but I do think there's a challenge for us.
Well, I do think so, and we're going to have Ray McGovern on, who works with World Can't Wait, so we'll talk more about this. And Sarah, thanks for joining me here on the Air America Radio Network. And wasn't I saying that every time Dire Straits comes on during the Al Franken show, he identifies it? There it is. All right. Give us a ring, 866-303-2270. You want to send some email, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I'm Peter Werbe on the Air America Radio Network. Oh,
Richard Nixon abused power. Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta. Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
It's the Air America Radio Network. Peter Werbe here with you, broadcasting from Detroit tonight. Actually, I'm always broadcasting from Detroit, aren't I? 866-303-2270. And we were talking a little earlier about stolen elections. And I mentioned how Gore and Clinton went to the January 20th, 2001 inauguration. And it sort of was like if someone broke into your house and stole your sound system, then a couple weeks later you go to a party and there it is in somebody else's house. And you go up to the guy and say, wow, man, nice sounds, nice box, you know, something like that. Here's what's happening in Mexico. This is, in a proper use of the term here, this is a political party with some cojones. Mexico's Vicente Fox was forced to forego the last State of the Union address of his presidency Friday after leftist lawmakers stormed the stage of Congress to protest disputed July 2nd elections. Instead, Fox gave his speech on television and called on Mexico to mend deep divisions that he said threatens the nation's newfound democracy. I wonder whose fault that is. It was the first time in modern Mexican history a president hasn't given the annual address to Congress. Fox arrived at the door of the legislative palace, handed in a written copy, as the Constitution requires, and announced over the loudspeaker that he wouldn't appear before lawmakers. He did not enter the chambers, and Congress was adjourned. The opposition lawmakers took over the stage in Congress shortly before Fox arrived, waving Mexican flags and holding placards calling the president a traitor to democracy. Now, why the hell didn't that happen in 2000, in late November and December, when the election was being stolen? They got a bunch of Republican gangsters and thugs to go down and intimidate the vote recounters there. But where were the rest of us? Why weren't there millions in the streets? Why weren't the Democrats in Congress standing up and saying, George Bush lost? He lost the popular vote, and his friends and relatives stole the election in Florida. And it would, remember they what they said about us? We were poor, sore losers. Actually, we were sore winners. Let's see. They ignored demands that they return to their seats, shouting vote by vote, a rallying cry for Lopez Obrador's bid for a full recount in the election. Sounds familiar? The former Mexico City mayor says Fox robbed him of his victory using fraud and backroom deals. Fox denies that. Well, so did Bush. And this is the mild stuff that's going on. You got to go to Oaxaca. Go to, let me see if I can remember it offhand, narconews.com, narconews.com for what's happening in Oaxaca. That's O-A-X-A-C-A. That is absolutely amazing. That is more like revolution. Here's James in Orlando, Florida. James, hi, it's Peter Werby.
Peter, I think that the election process is the absolute most important thing that we can focus on as people who are really trying to bring about democratic rule in this country. The government, the elected officials are the brain of the organism of our society. And when elections work, when we really get people in there that represent us, the government will work. The GOP always says government doesn't work. Government doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because elections don't work.
Well, it works for them. I mean, they've turned it into a massive racket to loot the world and the middle class and working class. So it doesn't work properly. It doesn't work as an institution to administer a democratic process. I think you're way right there, James. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Let me see. I want to go to, I like this one. Line one, Joe in Queens. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question first.
Sure.
Yeah, you always say that the war in Iraq was a mistake, or is still a mistake. Now, tell your listeners exactly why it is a mistake.
Well, I didn't say it was a mistake. I never said it was a mistake. It was purposeful. It was absolutely a long-standing plan for these neoconservatives to create an American empire that directly ruled the parts of the world that contained large amounts of oil and could station garrison troops permanently to have a military presence that would be close to Russia, not very far from China, and from South Asia. So it wasn't a mistake at all. It was a mistake for the American people. It was a mistake for the taxpayers. It was a mistake for the Iraq people. But it was well planned. What I said, it was based on lies. That's what I said.
And what was the lie?
Joe, are you forgetting history already? You're not in that one-third that the sum of the people that can be fooled all the time, are you, that Lincoln talked about? I mean, he said there were weapons of mass destruction. Anybody with half a brain knew there weren't. He knew there weren't. Powell knew there weren't. Cheney knew there weren't. Condoleezza Rice knew there weren't any. Millions of Americans knew there weren't any. Tens of millions of people around the country knew or world knew there weren't any.
That wasn't the main reason for going to Iraq.
Joe, you got to go. I got to go. So what you got to do is you got to Google that or go look in your library and read some old newspapers. You're rewriting history. Won't have it here. Thanks a lot for joining us. 866-303-2270. After our break, we're going to join Ray McGovern. He's an ex-CIA analyst. He's part of World Can't Wait. Why do I always say that wrong? World Can't Wait. Wasn't I saying won't again? WorldCan'tWait.org. Go there. No apostrophe. And they have an incredible number of people of great prominence backing them. Right back after these.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the Internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Question. Are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644. 877-870-2644. 877-870-2644.
John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a 4-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a 3-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited, available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, broadcasting from Detroit. Joining me from Washington, D.C. is Ray McGovern. He's a former CIA analyst and was the guy on television who confronted Rumsfeld back on May 4th. Maybe we'll get him to tell about that, although he's been on so many different television and radio shows, I mean, maybe tired of telling it. We'll see if we can get it out of him. He works with Tell the Word, the publishing arm of the Ecumenical Church of the Savior. We're reaching him in Washington, D.C. Ray McGovern, welcome to Air America.
Thank you, Peter.
You have told that story a number of times. Come on, tell us one more time what happened with you and Rumsfeld. We love it. The Secretary of War, as I call him.
Well, it was a very unfriendly audience to me. It was a very establishment, male, white, very wealthy audience. And when I asked my question, I just thought I would take advantage of the opportunity to ask him direct questions. He had expressed astonishment that some of the real hecklers, I disavow the term heckler because I was simply asking him a question. The real hecklers had called him a war criminal, said he caused war crimes, and he shook his head in the Rumsfeldian way and said, "Oh, you know, it's just so sad when people accuse the president of being a war criminal." Now, they didn't accuse the president of accusing him, but you know, that's what he said. Yeah. And he said, "You know, it really takes away the trust without which a government really can't operate, it can't govern effectively, you know." So that did it for me, you know. Yeah, take away the trust, all the lies that he told. So when I had my chance, I simply asked him about this so-called, quote, bulletproof, end quote, evidence that he had used to tie Iraq to Al-Qaeda. And then he gratuitously said that, and I quote, "apparently there were not any weapons of mass destruction," at which point I interrupted him and I said, "But you said you knew where they were." He denied it, and what the TV pundits had fun with that evening, those who took the trouble to look, was to call up what he had said to George Stephanopoulos in March of 2003, which was exactly what I said he said, namely that we know where the weapons of mass destruction are. They're near Tikrit in Baghdad and north, east, west, and south of there somewhat. That was a direct quote. So they put that up next to what I said, and then they put up his new lie that he hadn't said that, that, you know, he talked about suspect sites. So it was a four-minute chance to quiz him, and I was very happy to have been able to do that. And I was doubly happy that CNN, which was carrying it live, did the fact check and then had me on no fewer than four CNN talk shows that evening. And the best one, of course, was Olbermann, who juxtaposed the two texts. And, of course, a couple of days later, Jon Stewart did a beautiful thing, including not only the Rumsfeld-McGovern dialogue, but also how the pundits reading from their own script, like Paul Azan, who says, "Well, how long have you had this vendetta against me?" So it was good, but you know, it was a little distressing because one of those very famous pundits, who I haven't mentioned, but he said, "Well, Mr. McGovern, weren't you afraid?"
Wow.
And I said, "Well, actually, no, I was angry. Maybe it's because I'm Irish, or maybe it's because I saw my profession dragged into the gutter, but I was really angry." And as a matter of fact, you know, there was quite a rush. You ought to try it sometime. You know, see what happens. Ask him a question like that.
Well, good for you, Ray McGovern. And this fits in exactly with what you write and speak for the publishing arm of the Ecumenical Church of the Savior, called Speaking Truth to Power, and sometimes it's tough. And now we're looking at an effort called worldcan'twait.org, or the World Can't Wait. They've had these hugely expensive full-page advertisements in the New York Times, one, I believe, on Wednesday. Tell us about the organization, what it's all about, and what they're trying to accomplish.
We all scraped our piggy banks to get that ad out there. We had no rich gurus to support us. The attempt is to do something new and different, something akin to what the Polish dissidents did to eventually throw down a very unjust and illegal government. the idea is that something extraordinary is needed because these are indeed extraordinary times where the president is acting as though he were king, and the other two branches of government seem to be acquiescing in that. Now, there are some hopeful signs, but without massive participation, massive demonstration of interest in this whole thing, like we had during Vietnam, it's not going to be easy to turn the tide. Unlike some of my colleagues, I have a lot of hope for what will happen in November. And that hope is that people, you can fool a certain percentage of the people some of the time, but I have great faith in the basic common sense of the American people. And assuming the voting machines are not fixed as they haven't been in the past, I have hope that things are going to change. That hope at the same time gives me great fear for the period of the next 2 months, because God knows what this crowd will come upon as a September or October surprise. It may begin with Iran.
Yeah. The slogan here is drive out the Bush regime, which has a very strong, almost, I won't use the word I was going to use because it's misused by the Bush regime, but it's very strong. I mean, it almost sounds extra parliamentary, if you will. And yet so many people that I have great respect for, like yourself and other people that have signed on to this, Daniel Ellsberg and Gore Vidal, I mean, I could spend another 5 minutes naming all the names. They've signed on to this. Tell me what the process was. And actually, if you can, what would it mean to drive out the Bush regime?
Well, I used to say that the Bush regime is arguably guilty of perpetrating a war of aggression. We know now that it's not necessary to use arguably again. Nuremberg defined war of aggression, saying those who initiate such are perpetrating the most serious international crime, differing from other war crimes only insofar as it contains the accumulated evils of the whole. Now, that's a direct quote. What do we mean by accumulated evils? Well, think torture, think kidnapping, think putting people in black holes without even telling the Red Cross. Think about illegal wiretapping, the whole gamut of things. Now, on two counts, the president is demonstrably guilty. Hamdan says that he has violated the War Crimes Act of 1996, passed by a Republican-dominated Congress, which said you must tie U.S. criminal law inextricably to the Geneva Conventions. Now, on the advice of Cheney's lawyer, Haddington, and Gonzalez, he sort of set himself apart from Geneva. And now he's been told that that was unconstitutional and that was illegal. And that was the Supreme Court telling him that. That's the Hamdan decision. And more recently, just 3 weeks ago, we had Judge Taylor in Detroit saying that he violated the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, which prohibits explicitly government eavesdropping on Americans without a court warrant. Now, the president has admitted to that. And as John Dean has pointed out, the president has thus admitted to an impeachable offense. Why is it impeachable? Because that's precisely one of the counts.
Sure, it's high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, the day is Saturday, October 5th, for the World Can't Wait, Drive Out the Bush Regime, a day of mass resistance. And like so many, this is not going to center in Washington or New York or San Francisco. Am I right in my understanding? But rather, it's going to be all over the country.
Well, it will be in New York and Washington, of course. But, yeah, we hope to raise the whole country up. You see, what happened in Germany was that people kind of waited to the propitious time, and it became too late. And, you know, if we know anything from history, we know there is, as Martin Luther King said once, there is such a thing as too late. And there's quite enough evidence here to convict the president of war crimes and crimes against humanity. And if somebody doesn't rise up and say that out loud without any fear or favor, we will be lost, mm-hmm. and that we can't depend on the Democratic people that have come, I mean, the Democrat Party. We need to give them a good boost and get them to really speak for the people. So,
well, you know, I'm looking at the call board here, as we call it, the cities that are people are in, and I was going to make a point, but this doesn't prove it because they're all from big cities. But people are listening all over the country on 80 to 90 stations, many of them very small towns around our country. And this is something that everyone can link onto in their own way, in their own city. And it has the capacity, as you're saying, Ray McGovern, to transform itself into mass resistance, so that it's in every little bit of our country. Well, I hear the music coming up behind us. It's been fascinating talking to you, and I see actually it says here websites tompaine.com, truthout.org. Is that where you have pieces written?
That's where our veteran intelligence professionals for sanity and I, and when we publish individually, that's usually the most popular websites that we choose to publish on.
Great sites.
We don't have our own website because we're too busy speaking and writing and not really an organization, more a movement.
You're doing wonderful work. Thanks for joining me on Air America. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. We'll see you in the streets on October 5th. And it is worldcan'twait.org or .net. Peter Werbe, I'll be right back with you on the Air America Radio Network.
Have you ever met someone, shaken their hand, and the second you let go, you can't remember their name? Short-term memory loss is a natural part of aging, but forgetting names, dates, and misplacing things can be frustrating. In business, it can cost you money. Fight back with MemoProve, the new once-a-day tablet developed over 10 years by a pharmaceutical company using proprietary neuropeptides, clinically shown to improve memory. In just 30 days, MemoProve will boost your short-term memory by at least 15%, guaranteed. Call right now to find out how you can get a 3-month supply of MemoProve free. 1-888-665-MEMO. That's 1-888-665-MEMO. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-888-665-MEMO. 888-665-MEMO.
Boy, that just wouldn't fire. Technology giveth, technology taketh away. Hi, Peter Werby here with you on the Air America Radio Network. Although I love that song, too, from Neil Young's Living with War After the Garden. I meant to play Let's Impeach the President, but my little machine sort of snafu'd there, didn't it? Oh, well, I don't even know how it happened. Welcome back. And our number here is 866-303-2270. There is at least one line open if you've been trying to get in all night, and we're open line for the rest of the program, right up till 1 a.m. Eastern Time. We just had Ray McGovern on, the CIA analyst who for 27 years has become a peace and social justice activist, and it sounds like based around his faith-based sense of morals and ethics, because he works for a church. And we were kind of throwing it out to you, is a lot of people, they think, well, I don't believe the official lies. I don't buy the story being put out by Bush Co. I know it's a racket. I know the war was based on lies. I know that they're looting the middle class and looting the working class, making the poor poorer while the rich get much, much, much richer and the country gets driven into debt. So then what are you going to do about it? That's the real question. And frequently people say, well, I don't know. What am I going to do? I don't know about anything that's going on. Well, we're telling you about something that's going on. So the ball is now in your court. And I'm sorry, nobody likes someone to come up to them and start grabbing them by the lapels. And in a sense, that's what I'm doing. So I apologize for that. But we're talking about critical issues now of life and death and the nature of democracy in this country. It's not guaranteed. You don't get a postcard in the mail that says there will be fascism in 3 days, so you better get your ass out if you don't like the way it's going to go, or you think you're the person that's going to be interned like something in Chile or Argentina. And the idea that it can't happen here, it can happen here unless we do what we have to do as citizens to protect democracy and the Constitution. We are facing a formidable foe. People that have the power, that have armed force behind them, that have the media behind them, that have the big money behind them. But the people have won before facing these odds and facing these very same foes in different guises and at different times. So we can do it, but it depends on all of us. It really does. Here's Della. Della's in New York City. Hi, Della. It's Peter Werby on Air America.
Hello, Peter. I'm glad you brought up the Mexican vote and the way Obrador is protesting it and what they are doing down there. Of course, we know that Bush is really the de facto president of Mexico.
Sure.
He's very concerned that Calderon win. He even called to congratulate him even before the election was certified. He called him on July 7th. The election was on July 2nd, and the vote hasn't even been certified until September 6th. But, of course, they haven't given him a full recount, which he wants. He only got, a 10% recount, of which it turned out in his favor. There were votes that showed up in his favor. So now he wants a total recount. But you see, that election is very important to us because it will severely impact our economy. The reason is that the final stages of NAFTA won't go into effect until next year. And the final phases of NAFTA will mean that all subsidies for farmers in Mexico will be taken away. But the subsidies that we give to our large agricultural companies will not. and they will continue.
And the Mexican protection against that allows American produce to come into
exactly.
Mexico. So they've ruined the lives of millions of Mexican farmers, particularly corn farmers, who stream into Mexico City mostly. The ones that have the most drive, they come here. Because
yes, exactly.
their traditional life has been destroyed, so they have to feed their family, so they're going to go where the money is. Penetration,
exactly.
That's
look
the word I was looking for.
Look at what we have done to them. We threw them off their farms and put them into factories, and we turned their factories into cesspools, really. I mean, the Rio Grande River is a cesspool of contamination because there are no regulations at all for the manufacturers down there.
Some of the auto plants are actually, from everything I've read, are actually decent places to work. The only thing is these folks are making $2 an hour in the Ford plants, say in Sonora and what have you. And then you look at the economy of my home state, Michigan, and what's happened to the auto industry here. What there ought to be is a hemisphere-wide minimum wage of about $10 an hour. That would stop all the looting, for one thing, and people would stay at home where they would love to be.
Right. We
That's
should
right.
be able to have universal labor regulations and child labor regulations and workers' rights. If manufacturers have rights to move all over the world, why shouldn't our labor rights be protected all over the world?
That's well said. And, of course, as you very well said, this depends on Bush's candidate winning, and the election has been rigged to the extent just like it was here in 2000 and 2004. Della, thanks for bringing that all up as we enter the period where we go to a break. But we have a full hour of open phones and an open line or two for you at 866-303-2270. I'm Peter Werbe. If you want to reach me, that's the number. Or if you want to email me, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. My website, Peter Werbe, Werbe. A couple people said it was trouble getting it. PeterWerbe.com. This is the Air America Radio Network. I'll be right back.
I can't save a cent. It takes all of my money just to eat and pay my rent. I got the blues. Got those inflation blues. You know, I'm not one of those highbrows. I'm average Joe to you.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Avacor. Today, Avacor will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong because only Avacor gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Avacor will double your order. Call Avacor now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. The eye wall of Hurricane John is moving onshore in the Baja California Peninsula, with the eye just northeast of Cabo San Lucas. A hurricane warning is in effect across southern Baja and the west coast of mainland Mexico. Maximum winds continued to peak at 110 miles an hour and produce a storm surge of up to 5 feet. And the storm will likely drench the popular vacation region with up to 10 inches of rain. Meanwhile, on the U.S. East Coast, the storm formerly known as Ernesto is continuing to drop drenching rains from North Carolina into Pennsylvania. The Arab League says the Middle East peace process is dead, and it's calling on the United Nations to concede that and immediately take steps to revive it. The 22 Arab nations say the UN should step forward to create a new mechanism to pursue efforts to find a settlement in the decades-old conflict between Israel and Arabs. And it urged the 15 members of the Security Council to convene this month to begin the process. The president of the United Steelworkers Union says that beginning with this Labor Day weekend, the country needs to concentrate on the middle class if the U.S. is to have a bright economic future. Leo Girard says that the middle class has been left behind in recent years and that the U.S. economy can't exist with a hole in the middle of it.
The globalists have had it their way for 25 years, and now we see the mess that they've created. Now I think we need to change direction and move in a direction that says we have a responsibility to create a strong middle class for the next generation of Americans.
Girard says that present economic policy is designed to funnel too much money into too few hands. Dorms have gone dry on Twin Cities campuses at the University of Minnesota. A new policy forbids anyone, even those 21 and older, from bringing alcohol into traditional dormitories. U officials say violators will get counseling.
That can prove to be a really helpful opportunity for students to meet with a trained counselor to assist them in looking at their behavior. And there are situations where a student's behavior is egregious enough that we will terminate their contract with us to live on campus.
University of Minnesota spokeswoman Susan Stubblefield. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
knew you was mine. The drugstore closed at a quarter to nine. I said, I saw you kissing Willie across the fence. I heard you telling Willie I don't have no sense.
It's the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, and you can reach me at 866-303-2270 because this is a talk show all over America and all across the world via the Internet. Please join us. We were talking about resistance. We were talking about change in the hours before this. We were talking about each of us becoming involved in the change that I assume most of the people, probably almost all of the people listening to Air America want. Very typical is Marilyn, who writes into from Grand Coulee in Washington State. Must be where the Grand Coulee Dam is, right? That Woody Guthrie sang about. She says, I feel the change is possible. I have become more politically active in the last year, and I have Air America to thank for that. I'll be listening to you whether or not you're on Air America. You're a true patriot. Also, your website is fine. Someone, Bob, wrote in. Now, Bob wrote me, and he says, hey, I didn't mean for you to read that on the air, you know, that I was critical of it. That's okay. You can go to my website, and it is kind of messy, but there's a lot of information there. It's Peter Werby. Werbe, peterwerby.com. And let's see, this is from Alex. Alex writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I believe the October surprise, this is something the Republicans always pull at the last moment in order to yank the election away from the Democrats. A lot of us think it's going to be an attack on Iran, but that is too risky. I actually have a bet that that's not going to occur. And yet, these people are plenty crazy, and like true authoritarians, they're not willing to give up power. So they will do almost anything. But Alex says it'll be the October surprise will be a lot more gentle than most people think. It will be $2 a gallon gas. Of course, that price will rise after the election. Now, I don't know about you, but around my place, it's down to like $2.52. And why all of a sudden it's going down? There's still all these problems that Iran could face, sanctions, and then if they cut off oil to us, that would drive everything up. So how come the price of oil isn't going up? How come it's going down? Well, I'm glad that it is, that's for sure. Now, there's real rebellion, real resistance, real Democratic involvement, and then there's kind of fake stuff. I saw this in the New York Times a few days ago. It's called Defying Law, a Foie Gras Feast in Chicago. On Tuesday, this city's lawbreakers were serving foie gras, F-O-I-E-G-R-A-S, excuse my terrible French. The illicit substance could be spotted in places it was rarely seen when it was legal, buried in Chicago's famed deep dish pizza and soul food on the South Side, beside beef downtown. It, in one of the more unlikely and opulent demonstrations of civil disobedience, a handful of restaurants in Chicago that never carry foie gras, the fattened livers of ducks and geese, featured it on the very day that Chicago became the first city in the nation to outlaw the sale of the delicacy. They jam grain down the throat of these geese until their liver gets very, very swollen, and then it's a delicacy. Grant DePorter of Harry Carey's restaurant said the ban is embarrassing Chicago. He dreamed up the appetizer of pan-seared foie gras and scallops, $14.95, and a Vesuzio-style entree pairing foie gras and tenderloin, $33.95, just to buck the new ordinance. He says, we really don't think the city council should decide what Chicagoans eat. What's next? Some other city outlaws Brussels sprouts, another outlaws chicken, another green beans. Well, it's a little bit here. Joe Moore, the alderman who proposed the ban, adding that the method. Well, he said the city gave them a day of fun, but tomorrow we'll see what happens because they're going to start enforcing the foie gras ban. He said that force feeding ducks and geese through a pipe inserted into their throats is clearly animal cruelty, but people want to eat it. At the end, it says, Jerry Stout, a lunchtime diner at Connie's Pizza, said city leaders should have more pressing matters to worry about than fattened duck liver. Hardly a foie gras connoisseur. Oh, I'm just speaking all this French. He could not remember whether he had ever tasted it before. Mr. Stout, 54, tried it on his pizza, said he would recommend it because of its mild flavor. I guess we're rebels today, he said, which is the point of all this. Here, of all the things in the world These lame balls decide that they're going to buck the foie gras ban in Chicago. All of the things, their pockets being picked by the Bush crime family and sending it off to his corporate buddies, getting ripped off at the gas pump, even though it's coming down a little. The money going down the rat hole of war and preparation for war and reconstruction of Katrina, all of this stuff where the corporations get the money and none of the reconstruction is even delivered. And these morons in Chicago decide they're rebels today because they're opposing the foie gras ban. Jeez, doesn't that make you sick? Let's see. Here is Preston. He's in Denver, Colorado. Preston, hi. It's Peter Werbe on Air America. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Really appreciating the show.
Thank you.
And maybe the October surprise will be to pull Bin Laden out of a hat or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Osama bin Forgotten. They probably have had him for the last 6 months.
Right. But, you know, I guess they need him out there as the boogeyman.
Sure.
And they've got all those books coming out, too, like State of Emergency from Pat Buchanan to keep the population frightened. And, you know, I think General Douglas MacArthur, I think, really said exactly what's going on in our day very well. In 1957, he said that our government has kept us in a perpetual state of fear, kept us in a continuous stampede of patriotic fervor with the cry of grave national emergency. Always there's been some terrible evil at home or some monstrous foreign power that was going to gobble us up if we did not blindly rally behind it by furnishing the exorbitant funds demanded.
Yeah, and why don't people learn? Why does generation after generation fall for the same crap, if you'll excuse me, and even sometimes the same generation? I mean, should we just keep playing Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who? Or it should be called Don't Get Fooled Again.
You know, and I think the good news is a lot of us aren't. You know, a lot of us are looking at the blogs and reading the journals like The Progressives and Z Magazine and watching Free Speech TV and listening to Air America and Democracy Now. I mean, here in Denver, Democracy Now! Is now on the public television station every night.
So is that right? That's great.
It is.
And actually, it just began on Detroit Public Radio as well. Why shouldn't, you know, they don't like me talking about other stations. Never mind.
Yeah. Sorry.
But Amy Goodman is truly a national treasure. He is indeed.
Absolutely. And so much other stuff going on in other fields. I mean, so often we worry about the rise of the Christian right, but there's a very progressive Christianity as well, and it's as well a Buddhist left that's doing all sorts of good work, protesting and teaching people about our emotions and attitudes and how those can be manipulated by the, you know, psychological warfare we have coming against us to demoralize us so often.
I'll tell you what, Preston, people are saying nothing's happening. Why isn't anything happening? Nothing's going on. How come there's no protests? All of this. It is all simmering beneath the surface to such a degree, and there's got to be one little, I don't know if spark is the right word, but it's all going to blow. I mean, hopefully it'll happen on some day like this Saturday, October 5th, where the world can't wait is preparing these national demonstrations. Preston, thanks for your call. I appreciate it very much. Thank you so. Let's go to Bill in Portland, Oregon. Hi, you're on the air. This is Peter Werbe.
Hi. Hey, good to talk to you. Appreciate your show.
Thank you.
I just got a couple quick points. Is one, you know, I'm shocked at that, at the speech that Donald Rumsfeld just made. And
About fascism and how people like us are appeasers?
How we're facing something equivalent to the Nazi.
Yeah.
Invasion, right? Now, to me, how about this? Let's throw it back in their face and say, if you really truly believe this, why aren't we there in mass? Why don't we just blow them up?
We could send another 150,000 troops there. We always say we're stretched too thin. The U.S. Army has that. They could up the number of soldiers in Vietnam to 300,000 and probably end this. But you know why they don't do it? Because it would be politically damaging to them.
And it shows you that they're, of course, as we all know, that this is just a lie. It's just a lie. And the other thing I can't stand is I keep hearing this. If we get out of there, they're going to come to our streets.
Well, I'm afraid that if we do much more over there, they're going to be. We're going to guarantee they're going to come to our streets because we are, angering more and more people, creating. We are less safe, creating more and more terrorists. Thank you so much, Bill. Got to go to break right now, but we'll be back to get your calls. Our number here is 866-303-2270. My email, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Peter Werbe here with you on the Air America Radio Network.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that'll help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
It's the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, broadcasting from Detroit. And this is my last broadcast of this two-week stint I've done. And I substitute from time to time, so you can expect me back. I work in Detroit, though, and you can, like, Google my name, Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E, and find out where I am. Some of you have written in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com and said you'd like to be on my mailing list or like to hear my Detroit show easily done. Well, when Bush et al. Started talking about, and Rumsfeld began it, about the fascists, all of a sudden, the word fascism and Islamo-fascist and appeasers, all of a sudden, it's everywhere. The right controls language because they control the corporate press. So you have words like pro-life or phrases pro-life, right to work, socialized medicine, special interest to indicate sort of code word for either unions or African-American groups. And they're masters at it because they're very rigid people with this very single-minded capacity or limitation would be a better word. So they can't ever think in broad terms. So they like these little phrases like that. And they're good for the media. They're good for the media. So don't ever use it is my advice. I would never call these people pro-life. If I'm feeling nice, I call them anti-abortion. If I'm not, which I usually don't feel very good about them because they're people trying to control other people's lives, I call them the compulsory pregnancy movement, right? The right to work law, or right to work, that phrase, which usually means they want right to work laws, which is more easily called the right to scab law. Socialized medicine, that's called universal health care. But how did this fascist thing come up? This is was on Common Dreams, commondreams.org. And by Jim Loeb, the aggressive new campaign by the administration of President George W. Bush to depict U.S. foes in the Middle East as fascists and its domestic critics as appeasers owes a great deal to steadily intensifying efforts by the right-wing press over the past several months to draw the same comparison. So they get all of their right-wing corporate buddies on board, and the language becomes the common coin. And we're stuck defending ourselves. And again, I mean, because I said this a few days ago, it takes a second or two to tie a knot and sometimes an hour to untie it. So they're really good at this. You're an appeaser. What does someone say? You make this whole argument about why this war in Iraq was based on lies to create this oil empire and foreign imperial garrison. And they say, you're an appeaser. You and our peas are of fascism. And what should you say? Well, most people that say that to you should just say goodbye because they're nitwits. But, well, here, let me read a little more from this. The Rupert Murdoch-owned Fox News Network and the Weekly Standard, as well as the Washington Times, which is controlled by Reverend Sun Moon, Unification Church, and the neoconservative New York Sun, have consistently, with increasing frequency, framed the challenges faced by Washington in the region in the context of the rise of fascism and Nazism in the 1930s. You can go to this Nexus, N-E-X-I-S, and check their database on that. Also, the National Review and the American Spectator, they increased their use of words, appeasement, fascism, Hitler, and all of that. Nexus, for example, cited 56 uses of Islamofascist or Islamofascism in separate programs or segments aired by Fox News compared with 24 by CNN over the past year. Now, this phrase, the first time I ever heard it, and I think this is the guy that devised it, was Michael Weiner. You may know him as a famous right-wing proto-fascist, racist, homophobic, wacko, with a different last name, but his legal name is Michael Weiner, so I'm not going to give him any more credit than that. All right, let's go to our phones. Let's talk to Jude in Seattle. Jude, hi, it's Peter Werby. You're on the air.
Oh, Peter, thank you so much. God, what a wonderful example of integrity. You're just a man of integrity.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much. I wanted to, I'll be very succinct. To me, it's all about focus. And number one, it's being sure that we all get out and vote and do the things that we need to do to make sure that, you know, that all the precincts are covered. And second is to protect the journalists. And I found out a while ago, I ended up calling Senator Spector, and I don't have I don't really esteem him by any means at all. But I did find out that he does on, it's under spector.senate.gov,
mm-hmm.
that he has a form that can be filled out for people that are petitioning him. And he said that his office, one of his representatives said, that he will, he listens to the constituents, but also he will listen to the amount of people that, that will write and call in. And it's under the federal shield for protection for the journalists. And I think it's
very important. Very important.
It's very critical. And, you know, last night, Peter, you brought up about the United States military.
We're wanting to monitor the domestic press.
Exactly. The $20 million, I mean, give me a break.
Wow. Give me my money back. Let's spend it on something that we need in Seattle or in Detroit or someplace like that.
Well, see, in Seattle right now, what we're under really grave attack is under our school system. I mean, we've had judges, you know, not even allow monies for taxes to be used for our school system, and that's a whole other thing. I mean, there's so much that your audience has brought up and that you have brought up that is so critical, but the word is focus.
It is.
We cannot allow the diversions because they're unconscionable. There's thousands that are going on.
We have to do it. You're right. Thank you for your call. We're at our break, so we will be right back and get your calls. Our phone number is 866-303-2270. I'm Peter Werbe, and this is the Air America Radio Network.
Thank you for calling for your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can try Proactive Solution risk-free and it'll make my acne disappear. Sounds a little too good to be true to me.
Oh, no catch. We're so sure that Proactive Solution will give you beautiful, healthy-looking skin that we're going to let you try it risk-free just to prove it.
Okay, but I've tried a lot of different things for acne before and they always make my skin itchy and flaky.
Well, that's why Proactive uses soothing spa-quality botanicals along with prescription-grade acne medicine to heal, hydrate, and soothe your skin while eliminating bumps and redness. Oh, there's one thing I didn't mention.
A catch, right?
We're also going to give you a free refining face mask with your risk-free trial.
Wow, it's free?
To get your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution and free refining face mask, call 1-800-426-0651. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-426-0651. That's 1-800-426-0651.
John Madden here to tell you about Ace Hardware's Labor Day sale going on this weekend only, September 1st through the 4th, at participating Ace stores. Get a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint you buy, limit 10 gallons. And don't forget paint supplies like a 4-piece paintbrush set priced at $2.99 or a 3-pack of Ace paint rollers for $3.99. Both are free after rebate. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Hi, is Michael there?
That's it.
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
We'll be right back.
Let's impeach him for anything, everything, all the crimes and high misdemeanors that that gang of rascals, criminals, madmen, warmongers have done. That's the wonderful Neil Young from his album, Living with War. If they'd play that on mainstream radio, it would probably go up to number one, don't you think? The album's selling well as it is. Neil Young, Living with War. He's been touring with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and they sing that at every concert. And I was reading this account earlier from Andrew Rosenthal in the New York Times. The audience rose for Neil Young's blasted George Bush, Let's Impeach the President, and sang the words displayed on a huge TV screen. The same screen also displayed thumbnail photos of slain soldiers while a counter ran up the most recent toll. It takes longer than you might think to count to 2,600. But let's impeach the president, right? Let's go to real close to my hometown. Here's Alex in Plymouth, Michigan. Alex, hi. It's Peter Werby.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
The point I wanted to make was that when the neocons accuse everybody else of, Islamic fascism, it's a smokescreen. They're covering for their own new kind of fascism in this country.
Sure, sure. It's the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, how could they even begin to? Wait a minute though. We're sort of, at least maybe I am, kind of twisting a little, because what they say is the fascism are these terrorists, and we're the appeasers. Like they're like Hitler, we're like Chamberlain, you know, who said peace in our times, and we can get along with Hitler. I mean, it's really a terrible comparison and has no basis in reality. And in fact, though, the appeasers of Hitler were to a politician, conservatives, who liked Hitler, who was hoping that if they let him take, who wanted peace. They know that Hitler wanted a piece of Czechoslovakia and he wanted a piece of Austria and all of that. And they were hoping that Hitler would then turn east and destroy the Soviet Union. He kind of fooled him. He's a little bit more of a megalomaniac than they counted on. But the appeasers of Hitler were conservatives. Absolutely.
Well, right. Well, Prescott Bush was one of them. And these guys in power today are destroying our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And I think it's time for us to stand up and speak out because we're all adults here.
You know, there's a great book called Who Financed Hitler? Actually, there's a lot of books on this subject, but Who Financed Hitler is a good one. And Adolf Hitler, in his final bunker, had a photograph of what famous Detroiter on the wall? Any idea, Alex?
Henry Ford.
Henry Ford it was. The granddaddy, the Model T and the Model A, and mass production in the auto industry, but an admirer of the Nazi Party. And in fact, Henry Ford received one of those Iron Crosses in Detroit in 1938 from a representative of the Hitler government. And Hitler attributed the money sent in the early 1920s by Henry Ford to the Nazi Party to saving the Nazis when it was at its lowest ebb. In fact, the American corporate support of the Nazi war machine is so disgraceful. Everybody from Ford Motor and the Ethel Corporation, IBM, which set up this whole punch card system for taking care of the Holocaust, for accounting of the Holocaust victims. It's a scandal of enormous proportions, absolute enormous proportions. Well, Alex, thank you so much. Feel free to join me on my Detroit show as well. Let's go to Ed in Somerville, Massachusetts. Hey, Ed.
Peter, thanks for your. This is an excellent show. This is the most cogent reasoning I've heard on the air since Randy belched. Why is everyone counting on Mr. Bush to defend us from Osama bin Laden? He surrendered. He surrendered and pulled out of the two bases that bin Laden wanted.
Ed, you're not trying to say he cut and ran.
Oh, no, he didn't. I hear what you're saying, but he didn't run. He walked out in a very orderly fashion.
Yeah.
He can't run. You got to think about it this way. This man owns a ranch, and he's afraid to get on a horse. Have you ever seen a picture of Bush on a horse?
No. Do you know this, or are you speculating because of lack of evidence?
Well, I'm a little more than speculating. It's said that he doesn't like horses, but if the man owns a ranch and he's, quote, Texan, he's afraid of horses.
What's the phrase, Ed? All hat, no cattle, right?
Coward is the other term for it. And that,
well, wait a minute. I don't want to put everybody down that doesn't want to get on a horse.
I've ridden
horses, but it's not my favorite thing to do.
I know. I agree. But you're going to go into Texas and call yourself a tough guy, and the big manly thing you do is play with some weeds in the backyard.
And put on one of those cowboy hats. It's like those country awards when all those guys come up to get their awards. They all got those big hats on. I'm thinking, what used to be the thing? People used to walk into places, and if you were wearing a hat and you were a young person, they'd say, young man, take off that hat. Now everybody's got a hat on, ball caps mainly. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate your comments. Here's Larry in Arizona. Larry, hi. It's Peter Werby.
Thanks for taking my call, and I wanted to thank you for a whole week of really good programming.
I've been having a ball. Couldn't do it without you guys either, but go ahead.
Yeah, when you're speaking, I don't hear you too good, but I called to talk about Pat Buchanan and the Southwest down here. He says we're being invaded.
Yeah, you're going to be overrun by 150 million Hispanics, and they're going to take back the occupied Mexico land for the country that lost it 150 years ago or more.
He's talking about the native population here. When people are talking about Hispanics down here, we're actually talking about the natives. The indigenous people have been here for 14 to 20,000 years. There's no invasion here. He's the one that's closest to being an invasion party. It's, nice little white stuff. I'm a white man. I'm a angry old white man anymore with Bush being around. But our people down here are people that have been here forever.
Sure.
And when the country came in here and divided everything up, and the people down in Mexico, they're
I think we're losing your call. Thank you, Larry. You must be on a cell phone, so we're going to say thank you very much. Here's Francine in San Diego. Francine, hi. It's Peter Werby, and you're on the air.
Hi. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you so.
I was going to tell you, when you started talking about the Bush speak and how they've, gone to this the term fascism, I would like for you to know I'm 66 in about 16 days, and have been disabled for about 15, so I always worked the polls for years and years and years. And since, I guess it's been about 4 or 5 years now, I have worked steadily on my computer, signing petitions, writing emails, doing everything I possibly can. And, of course, I get Media Matters, which, I don't have to look at everything on television because they tell me, what someone like Matthews accepted from someone else,
Sure.
But I used fascist probably about 25 times a day, calling, whosoever show, whether it's Stanopoulos or Matthews or Russet, the media, mm-hmm. everything, because they are. I lived in Germany for a number of years and visited many of their ovens,
the concentration camps?
Yes. And have studied fascism, and we do now have, as our language changes and the meaning of words change, we do have fascism in this country today.
Well, I don't think we're there yet. Listen, Francine, you wouldn't be able to do what you're doing, and I wouldn't be able to be on the air. When someone comes in and shuts this all down, you'll know that fascism is here. It will announce itself in extraordinarily dramatic terms. But, Francine, a big happy birthday to you from all of us here at Air America. Keep giving them hell. And I'll be right back because we're going to take a break right now. And I forgot. How could I forget this? It's Labor Day coming out. coming up rather, and a good time to, if you're in a union or there's Labor Day parades, go down to it. There's a Labor Day parade Monday on Labor Day. Well, what do you think? And I'm going to be marching with my union, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, and probably be there, hopefully 20, 30,000 people. If you're in the Detroit area, join us. Probably big labor parades in other places as well. If there's not, there should be. It's open lines for you at 866-303-2270. This is Peter Werby on the Air America Radio Network. I'll be back for my last segment. And then, well, who knows?
That I feed you until the day that we don't need you. Don't go for help, no one will heed you. Your mind is totally controlled. It has been stopped.
Question: are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen, there's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2644. 877-870-2644. 877-870-2644.
This is the Air America Radio Network. I'm Peter Werby, and my last segment, I did the majority report last week, and this week, this time slot. A lot went on, didn't it? Here's a nice email in some ways to sum up things. And remember, Al Franken every day says, what have we learned today? Here's one of the things that we learned. Will come at the end of this email from Jeff in Washington State. He says, it's been a pleasure spending radio time with you this week. You being the host, we'll be viewing your website from time to time as well. Hope to hear you back soon. And down with President Lepetomane. And we did learn that George W. Bush, his favorite activity for jokes is farting in front of people, particularly new interns. This is not a smear. This was in U.S. News and World Report. The arrogance, frat boy humor, just beyond everything. So Lepetomane was a fartiste in France in the 1890s that could play tunes. So I was calling him President Lepetomane, and Jeff says, down with President Lepetomane. Yeah. All right, let's get a final few calls in here. It's Hutch from Orchard Beach, Maine. Hutch, how you doing? Yeah, we spoke to you about that demonstration against President Lepetomane, didn't we, up in Kennebunkport a few days ago?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, Peter. And that's where I learned that weapons are our country's number one export. And I think that's a point that we need to make, because if you connect the dots and you say, if weapons are our number one export, then it makes sense for those people to want war, because then we sell more weapons.
Sure. Yeah, and so, when we give foreign aid, people think we give it, people say we give it away to all to other countries. We give it away to countries so then they can buy back from us. We give them our tax dollars. And a country like Israel, for instance, and then it buys all this military hardware that they then go destroy Lebanon with.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. So we need to really point that point across and make sure that people know it's time to stop making weapons as an export that makes money for the country, because it just promotes war.
It does. Thank you, Hutch. Here's Janet. Janet,
thank
I don't
you.
See what your city, what city you're from, but welcome. Hi, Janet. You're on the air.
Hi.
Online. Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from Miami.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. The comment that I wanted to make is that my daughter lives in Germany, and 3 weeks ago she has told me that there are 6,000 of our troops that are AWOL from Afghanistan and from Iraq that, you know, of course, they're being sheltered. And I don't read that anywhere. And I was just curious as if you know about this.
I mean, I don't know. There's about, since 2001, since Bushko started turning the army into the imperial shock troops, there's been like 40,000 desertions. And so you're saying that that men and maybe some women have actually left Afghanistan and Iraq and are now...
And they're there right now.
Yikes. I don't know. I wish, here I'm in the last couple of minutes of the shows that I'm doing on Air America, and I probably have no way to find that out. That's very interesting, though.
All right. Well, thank you so very much.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. Here's Ron in Sacramento. Ron, hi. It's Peter Werby.
Hi. I have a note on my desk. Read the Constitution every day and don't forget to bitch slap at least one EIB ditto head, you know.
Okay.
The EIB stands for excrement in broadcasting, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously the name of the game with Bush and Cheney is this phony external threat bit, you know, this besieged homeland bleep. And, you know, they're now wetting their pants and gripping about Iran, which probably in about 10 or 15 or 20 years, they might have one lousy missile that they probably couldn't even reach Jordan with. A practical idea, most of this is profiteering by these insane vultures like Dick Vader. And instead of starting another phony war and slaughtering a bunch of scary brown people, why don't we just pay off Dick Vader and some of these other lunatic profiteer traitors, give them a check for $5 million each, put them on a damn island, they're damn traitors, And
well, I'll tell you, Ron, the only thing about that, I mean, they've already got all the wealth and privilege they want there, and also they have all the power you would think that any human being could possibly want. I mean, it's obscene in all three cases, but they want to exercise power. They have these grand visions, and men, and I use it gender-specific purposely, men with grand visions have always been the death of sometimes millions of people. Thanks for your call. Here's Bob in Kearney, Nebraska. Bob, hi, it's Peter Werby.
Hey, Peter, it's such an honor to talk to you, and I appreciate you giving me the time. I just wanted to mention that one thing that I think I'm constantly hearing is about how the right is lying and the right is accusing the left of lying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What's that?
I said, uh-huh.
Well, one thing I think that would be very thing to do as far as reality television and so forth is to get these politicians on the television wearing lie detector tests where you have a needle right in front of them, shows whether they're lying or not.
How about this, Bob? And unfortunately, we're completely out of time. That's not a bad idea, but here's a much simpler way, and you wouldn't even have to involve any technology. Just assume they're lying. If they're on television, they're wearing a suit or they're wearing a uniform, start with the operating premise that they're lying. And you can always come to a different conclusion, but unfortunately, most people are very trusting because we trust most people in our lives, particularly those of us that have a liberal and tolerant spirit towards other human beings, which is the vast majority of us. So when people say something, we usually think they're telling the truth, but we get hurt so badly. All right, that's it for me, and it's been a great 2 weeks here on Air America. I'm sure I'll be back substituting again for other folks. You want to join me in Detroit on my show, you can go to peterwerbe.com, last name W-E-R-B-E. And thanks to everybody in New York who did such a fabulous job making this stint so easy for me. And we'll meet further down the road. Thanks a lot, and have a great Labor Day.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. Feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.